Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is July 8th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. So Wall Street had a little bit of a choppy day, but closed to the downside, about a half a percentage point. Russell 2000 was down. We're going to get into those headlines as we always do here to kick off the show. But we have to pay attention here because the news of the day pertained to Deutsche Bank. And we've been talking about Deutsche Bank for quite a while here at the Capital News, because this can be and might be the catalyst that kickstarts the next global slowdown. Or should I say recession? We're already slowing down. Can this be a market scare? It most definitely can. We've been talking most recently that we were under the belief that Deutsche Bank was going to be cutting up to 20,000 jobs. The new report out there today is that they are going to be cutting 18,000 jobs over the course of the next few years, going through the year 2022. So 18,000 jobs over the next few years, divvy it up to 6,000 jobs per year. I don't think they're going to make it that long. Doesn't mean they're not going to be in existence, but I think they're going to shed those 18,000 jobs a lot sooner than 2022. You have to ask yourself a logical question. If people well within that organization who have been there for a while, who have a name and a reputation within Deutsche Bank, managing directors, vice presidents, people who are the head of desks, trading desks, are they going to leave? Are they going to run for cover? Are the rats going to abandon ship? Are they going to trust that everything else is going to be A-OK? Or are they going to be floating out their resume? Are they going to be calling some other major banks around the rest of the world looking for a job to get ahead of what is likely coming? 18,000 jobs. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's serious. They're basically getting rid of their entire equities trading desk. You heard right. Their equities trading desk, an investment bank, is scrapping their stock trading. What does this mean? That's what they're getting rid of? And a lot of these jobs, by the way, are in the U.S. So that's not going to bode well either, because I don't know who's going to absorb all of these jobs when we're in the midst of a slowing economy here in the U.S. and around the world. Now, this is a part of a multi-billion dollar, quote-unquote, restructuring that Deutsche Bank is implementing. Their share price has been decimated over the past decade. They still remain, however, Germany's largest bank, one of Europe's largest banks, one of the world's largest banks. We were talking previously how the German authorities wanted to merge Commerzbank with Deutsche Bank, Germany's two largest banks, to create a hero or a champion, I think was the phrase that the German regulators and finance minister was using. We are going to create a champion of Germany. Well, of course, that fell through, because both of these banks are crap. They're a couple pieces of dirty coal. Somehow, these Germans thought if you rubbed them together, you were going to make a diamond. There was no way in hell that was going to happen. I thought the Germans were smarter than this. Well, the truth came to pass, as we had predicted here at the Capital News, and that deal broke apart. Because had it went through, you would have been talking about 50, maybe even 60,000 jobs worldwide gone because of the massive amount of overlap that would have existed between these two banks. We were talking here recently about Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany, how publicly she has been shaking, physically shaking, on a couple of occasions. Now, again, I hope there's nothing wrong with the woman, health-wise or anything else for that matter, but maybe she's privy to some other information. Maybe she has a finance minister or some financial regulator that she's in the know with that's saying, hey, if this goes, we're going to have a big problem. And they will have a big problem. That's complete speculation. I have no idea if that's the reason why the woman was shaking. But it makes sense to some degree, doesn't it? Because history doesn't repeat, but it often rhymes. And this is going to look and sound and smell and taste very much like the collapse of Lehman Brothers back in 2008. Now, before Lehman Brothers, we had Bear Stearns. Bear Stearns was absorbed by J.P. Morgan, with the help, by the way, of the federal government and the Federal Reserve. A lot of people forget that. I don't. So is this going to be one of those situations where this is more like a Bear Stearns, or will it be more like a Lehman Brothers? Time will tell. But I do not envision this ending well for anybody, especially the German people. By the way, there is some more negative economic news coming out of Germany, where they missed expectations on industrial output. So that's not good either for Europe's largest economy. That's not boding well for Deutsche Bank. That's not going to bode well for the entirety of the German financial system, for that matter. This is a continuing trend. We have a trend now. These aren't one-offs anymore. ISM numbers, PMI numbers, we talk about them all the time. This is no longer just a one-off here, one-off there. This is now a trend. These things are rolling over. Only going to prove what we have been talking about here for months. These are the pieces to this economic puzzle. It is painting a stark picture. A very stark picture. And you have to recall, when we started talking about Deutsche Bank, we did so at the beginning of this podcast back in February, where we put together, or we were discussing, I should say, the list that was actually put together by Deutsche Bank, the 30 market risks for 2019. 30 market risks for 2019, put together by Deutsche Bank. And number 31 that we added to that list immediately was Deutsche Bank being a catalyst, that Deutsche Bank would collapse or would need bailed out. Now, I don't think the appetite is going to exist this time around for any financial institution, for that matter, to be bailed out, because we did this 10 years ago. It's too fresh in everybody's memory. And you have the rise of populism the world over. There is no way these banks, or any major corporation for that matter, is going to get bailed out, especially to the extent that they were 10 years ago. This wasn't the Great Depression 90 years ago, where there's only a handful of people alive, not a big enough voting block to make a difference, politically speaking. This happened a decade ago. Most people are still here. They got that fresh, nasty taste in their mouth because it was only a decade ago. Some people are still hurting from it. And that's because of low interest rates for too long. Quantitative easing, currency manipulation, one problem after the next. Let's just kick the can down the road. Debt monetization, the whole thing. No leadership. There is no leadership anywhere on this planet. None. Everybody's a liar. Everybody exaggerates. Everybody wants to kick the can down the road. Everybody wants to pretend everything's going to be fine. Nobody wants to be an adult. Nobody wants to stare the people in the face, no matter where you are. The United States, the British people, the Greeks, the Italians, the Germans, the Chinese, the Japanese, makes no difference. Everybody says everything's fine. No need to panic. No need to worry. No need to prepare for anything, because everything is roses, rainbows, and unicorns. You have nothing to worry about. That's when you start to worry, folks. The S&P closed down 14.5. The Dow lost 116. The NASDAQ shed 63 points, representing a decline of 0.8%. The Russell 2000 shed 14 points, representing a loss of 0.9%. NASDAQ was driven down probably primarily because of the downgrade from Apple. Yes, you heard right. Some analysts are out there downgrading Apple. It's been a while since that's come across the board. Dow Jones Transport shed 0.7%. New York Stock Exchange lost 0.5%. Oil is trading at $57 a barrel. Brent crude is trading at $63.90 a barrel. Gold remains under $1,400 an ounce off the back of a stronger dollar, trading at $1,395 an ounce. Silver is right at $15.04 an ounce. The 10-year U.S. Treasury down slightly, now yielding 2.034%. We also have the VIX, the Volatility Index, gaining 5%. We said be on the lookout for this, now at $13.96. So, a lot going on. Despite Deutsche Bank, which had a quick pickup on the news. We're going to shed jobs. Yay. That's what Wall Street does. You know, you're cutting jobs, you lay people off, Wall Street claps because that's a major cost. So now earnings can go up. So they applauded that. However, it reversed. Deutsche Bank ended up losing 6% for the day, now at about $7.50 a share, right around there. I don't imagine this going much higher, although it could. You can have speculators come in thinking there's going to be a little push, bidding up the price here or there. It'll be volatile for a little while, but I only see bad things for Deutsche Bank. And I don't mean ill will on any of these people here, although some of them are most definitely criminals. We know the racket they've been running, particularly with a lot of the money laundering schemes and everything that they've been involved with. And I'm sure that's only the tip of the iceberg. But, you know, I'm sure there's some good people there, and you don't want these people to lose their jobs. But you know what? That's the system, unfortunately. So I don't imagine that things are going to get much better for Deutsche Bank. We also have a wave of major banks coming out, issuing warnings for the general markets, stock markets, the bond markets, that there can be a reversal. Well, if there's a reversal, we're at highs. So that must mean they're going down. You finally have this coming from the major banks. How do you interpret this? I mean, did they get out of the market? Is it all clear now? They're safe. They have a net short position on the market. Now everybody else can start selling like they did in 2008, 2009. Is that what's going on here? Could be. Could be. Maybe they're trying to get people to sell off because they're going to buy the dip because they think the Federal Reserve is going to come to the rescue. It could be either one. That's why you have to do your own analysis. That's why you have to look at the data. That's why you have to trust yourself. That's why you have to educate yourself. That's why you have to listen to the Capital News. Who knows what these banks are doing? They're corrupt. They're a bunch of fraudsters. That's what they do. So we'll see, but it's interesting that they're finally coming out and issuing some warnings. Hey, this market's at another top. Every time it hits these levels, there's a pullback, which is consistent with what we've been talking about. I don't know if I'll have time to get to it today because there's a lot of other things I want to discuss. But I was looking at my volatility model, which I haven't updated in a while, but I did so last evening. And I also looked at it against the Dow Jones transports to see if that's how strong of a leading indicator that is, because that is one of the things, one of the metrics, one of the indices that we talk about here on a near daily basis. And the reason why is because it does happen to be a leading indicator, because you're talking about companies like FedEx and UPS, airlines, railroad companies, major maritime companies. They're moving goods. So if you have these companies moving a lot of goods, stands to reason that the economy is strong. So that might be a leading indicator that the overall markets are going to be heading higher. And conversely, if they're not moving a lot of volume, then perhaps the markets are headed lower. Well, right now, there is a disconnect between the Dow Jones transports and the S&P 500. And it's at a gap. I looked at this over the past 18 months. It is trading at a gap that we have not seen over the past 18 months, where the S&P is well above the Dow Jones transports. So if you were to look at the Dow Jones transports as a leading indicator, which it is, and there were to be some sort of convergence, my analysis would say that the S&P is headed lower. But wait, there's another story I want to talk about today, because we have the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell will be testifying before the Senate tomorrow, I believe, and the House on Wednesday. He will be testifying before the House and banking committees, talking about God knows what, how the Federal Reserve manipulates the price of money, and how it cares about the American people, on and on and on, a whole bunch of BS and nonsense. But guess what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen? The entire global markets, all of the global markets, are going to be sitting on the edge of their seats, on pins and needles, listening to every stupid word that comes out of this man's mouth. You want to talk about too much power? This is it. Front and center. Front and center. You're going to turn on Bloomberg tomorrow and Wednesday. You're going to turn on Fox Business. You're going to turn on CNBC. There might even be some other ones. during part of this testimony, and you're going to have on the bottom right or on the top right corner, you're going to have the Dow Jones, you're going to have the NASDAQ, you're going to have the S&P, you're going to have the Russell 2000, you're going to have the price of oil, you're going to have the strength of the dollar, you're going to have it all trading right there, listening to every word this guy says. Is that too much power or what? Aren't we supposed to be a free market capitalistic system? Well, that means everybody decides what the price of everything and anything is. Not one person. Not the chairman of the Federal Reserve. Not the board of governors and presidents that comprise the Federal Reserve. Not the president of the United States. You and me and everybody else. Yet this is the world in which we live. This is a financial dictatorship. This is why we live in a financial world of Oz. And then when you look at these people and you listen to them, my goodness, no wonder we're in such problems. Makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? Whether it's from the president's mouth, whether it's from Jerome Powell's mouth, whether it's from the ECB's mouth, Christine Lagarde, the IMF managing director, now perhaps the next president of the European Central Bank. Oh yeah, negative interest rates are fine. Let's just keep going. This is what we have. This is who we're dealing with. Doesn't make any sense at all whatsoever. Furthermore, how is that, because this is all connected, negative interest rates, how is that going to help Deutsche Bank? Seriously, how is that going to help them? How are they going to be able to borrow money short and lend it long if they have to deal with negative interest rates? This is why the entire banking sector in Europe is on the verge of collapse. I'm not being hyperbolic. They are on the cliff's edge. You start to have Germany roll over, which they are. You have the whole Brexit mess, which we haven't talked about here lately. But you just have all of that uncertainty. The whole system, ladies and gentlemen, is based off of trust and confidence. It's based off of trust and confidence because if you understand how the banking sector works, it's all a con job. We explain it in our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing. Fractional reserve banking is one of the biggest frauds, if not the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on mankind. Understand it. It's all trust and confidence. So that's all it takes. One bank starts to distrust another. One major investment firm doesn't want to trust a bank. A major hedge fund no longer trusts one of their banks. You got a problem. And it could be a big problem depending on the catalyst, depending on who it is, where it's coming from, the amount of dollars transacting. This is why we could wake up overnight, one day, and you have a major company declaring bankruptcy, which is what happened in 08 and 09. This is what you saw happen. That's why these things can come out of nowhere. That's why I'm telling everybody to be prepared. If you have a long time horizon to be invested, stay long. Build cash. Get ready for the sell of a lifetime. Doesn't mean this is happening tomorrow. I stress this. It does not mean that it's going to happen tomorrow. But it will happen. Because they cannot defy the laws of economics forever. They just can't. They can manipulate. They have. They can kick the can down the road. They have and they will. But they're running out of road. They're running out of road. And now you even have some of these major banks issuing warnings that there could be a major reversal in the stock market, in the bond market. And if it's in the bond market, that means yields are going to spike. So what's the Federal Reserve going to do? What's Jerome Powell going to say tomorrow? Because I can assure you the man is a little bit nervous. Because everybody is going to be listening to what he says, dissecting every single word, every single sentence. And it's going to be happening over the course of 2 days, where he's pretty much going to say the same exact thing. That's the world in which we live. This is going to affect everything. This is going to affect the stock market. This will affect the bond market. This will affect the currency markets. To some extent, this will affect the commodities markets. All of them. One individual. Think about that. Think about that. Free market capitalism, one person moving all those markets. And depending on what he says, if he misspeaks like he has in the past, if he's too dovish, if he's too hawkish, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen? Something could sell off, something could rally. Anybody's guess. Anybody's guess. All because one person put together a paragraph. Maybe just a sentence, maybe just a couple words. That's not good, folks. It really isn't. Going across the globe, earlier today, the Asian markets took a beating. They were pretty much all down anywhere between 1% to 2%, almost 2.5% on some of the exchanges across the board. Japanese markets, the South Korean, the Chinese markets, the Indian markets, Hong Kong, you name it, they were down. Even the Australian markets were down 1% earlier in the day. New Zealand, however, was able to hold on. European markets were relatively flat. The German markets were down about 0.5% today, primarily, again, on the back of the news coming out of Deutsche Bank and some of their economic news that continues to trickle out to the downside. So these are the things that we're going to have to pay attention to. The title of this podcast is Deutsche Bank, The Catalyst. Is it? It's a serious question. It's something we've been talking about here since February, since the Capital News has been on the air. So it's been 5 months, and now we're starting to see bigger cracks in the financial system with Deutsche Bank in particular. Again, 18,000 jobs being slashed over the course of 3 years. I don't think they're going to make it that long. I think 18,000 will be gone a lot sooner than that, just because this everything else is going to start to speed up here. Because one of the other pieces of information that came out today, and of course it's being spun as if it's the best thing ever, hooray, USA, U.S. consumer credit rises more than expected. U.S. consumer credit rose $17.1 billion in May, beating forecasts of a $16.7 billion increase. Revolving credit, including credit card borrowing, climbed $7.2 billion, and non-revolving credit, including loans for education and automobiles, advanced $9.9 billion. Year-on-year, consumer credit growth eased to 5% from 5.2%. U.S. consumer credit rises more than expected. You know what another word for credit is? It's debt. But credit is a prettier word than debt. So you have some articles that I came across earlier today where, oh, that must mean it's a good thing. Yay, everybody's using more credit cards. Everybody's got a job. Just had that jobs report that blew everybody out of the water. 224,000 jobs created in June when everybody thought it was going to be 100 and something. You had the ADP report out at 102,000. Quite the discrepancy, but nevertheless, that's the number we're dealing with. 224,000 jobs created in the month of June. Now you have U.S. consumer credit rising more than expected. Let me tell you something, folks. If the consumer was healthy, they'd be deleveraging, not adding to it. But that's the sick society in which we live. That's the sick financial media in which we follow. Not here at the Capital News, but if you're watching CNBC and Bloomberg and Fox Business, that's what you hear. That's what they put out there. Well, the consumer must be strong. No. The strong consumer is one that deleverages. The strong consumer is one that has money to pay for the asset, not simply use a credit card every time they want to buy something. Because believe you me, we have the data. We talk about it here all the time. We have a significant number of households that live paycheck to paycheck. A significant number of households that use credit cards to fill the gap. You're talking minimum payments. You're talking extreme interest rates. Bankers love these people. When you hear a banker say that the consumer is strong, that means they're making minimum payments and they're paying 20, 25, 30% per month. That means they go to the grocery store and buy $100 worth of something. It's going to cost them $500 if they're lucky. That's the sick system we are in. Now, that doesn't mean that these people are quote-unquote innocent. Some of them live well beyond their means. But nevertheless, this is the society in which we find ourselves. 20, 25% interest rates? You kidding me? I'm at a loss for words. I mean, this is what people are doing. And you have people in the media saying that the U.S. consumer is strong because of this. If somebody owns their home, I would say they're stronger than somebody who's overleveraged. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you agree with that? Isn't that pretty simple? I mean, I understand the rationale, but why isn't the other side ever really stated in these articles that I come across? And these are from reputable firms. This is from the financial mainstream media. This isn't some off-the-cuff website somewhere. These are the big boys saying this. Oh, well, everybody's got a job, unemployment's low, this must mean the consumer's strong, they're using more credit. They wouldn't use more credit if they had the money. At least they shouldn't. So that's another problem. So we'll keep you updated on all this as everything else. Deutsche Bank's the main story today, but Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is going to be in the spotlight over the next couple of days unless there is some sort of major escalation in the Middle East or some other event somewhere else that nobody's looking at, which is quite possible. But I imagine the primary news driver over the next couple of days, at least when it comes to the markets, is going to be, again, Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve. But it's our job to keep you updated. We'll do our best to do so here at the Capital News. Thank you so much for joining me. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out. Help us grow this channel. Leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. This is the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.